Well, we started talking last week about knowing your enemy. And I mentioned to you there's actually there's a ditch on either side of the road when it comes to knowing your enemy. Some people become so focused on their enemy that when a gnat flies over, Beelzebub's out to get them. Everything that happens, they hit a pothole in the road and the devil's trying to kill them. That's the ditch on one side. Then we have a ditch on the other side that people don't even believe in the supernatural power of the devil, and they just don't believe any of that mess. Well, both are ditches. But I feel like the Lord is wanting me to do some things and teach you a little bit about the balance of that. And if you're going to, no matter what battle you enter, I don't care if you look in the sports arena, I don't care if you, in war, in the military, you got to know your enemy. The first key to victory is knowing your enemy. That's good right there. I didn't say that. That just spontaneously. The first key to victory is knowing your enemy. Now, again, you don't want to become so focused on your enemy that you forget to focus on how great your God is. But you need to know your enemy. So last week, I began to show you the strategy of the enemy. What is his goal? What is his tactic? Who can tell me what the number one strategy of the enemy is? What is he after? He's after the presence in your life. We looked in the scripture and we saw that when Eve encountered Satan, Jesus came, or God came to speak with them, and it says they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So the number one strategy of the enemy is to keep you out of the presence of the Lord. And the other things that you're going through in your life, however you describe them, their goal is the same, to keep you out of the presence. I don't care what you're facing today. The goal is to keep you out of presence. And what we tend to do is when we begin to get hit or the life begins to come at us, guess what we do? We run from the presence. We don't go to church anymore. I don't feel like going to church. We don't listen to worship. We don't read our word. Because he's after presence. And so the pressure that often comes against us is designed to keep us out of presence. And I'm amazed over the years at how so many people, that's exactly what they do. They leave the presence when they're struggling. What? How's that going to work out for you? How will that, and I say this all the time, I see people miss church and so on when they struggle. How's that going to help you? See, the enemy's trying to keep you out of presence. Because I don't care how bad you feel. You might have came in here today just as frustrated and nasty as you could be. But there was something in here. I can just see people now thinking, nah, I'm not going to, it's not going to get me. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm mad. But when that presence begins to come, it's like you take a bath. You take a spiritual shower. You understand that? So the enemy's trying to keep you out of the shower. He's trying to keep you out of presence. He's trying to make you stink. Hello? So we looked at last week, the reason that he wants to keep you out of presence is if he keeps you out of presence, he keeps you out of everything that presence brings. And we saw last week that there's blessing in the presence. We saw there's rest in the presence. We saw that time in his presence causes us to be set apart. It distinguishes us. We saw that favor is in the presence. We saw that authority is released in the presence. We saw that we're transformed by his presence. Many times we're trying to stop doing something. But we're transformed in his presence. If we just spend time in his presence, the desire to do that thing begins to die on the inside of us. Because we're transformed by presence. Seems too easy, I know. But the presence defeats our enemies. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. You can fight somebody if you want to, but you better not fight somebody that's got the presence of the Lord with them. honestly believe that when you walk in the presence of the Lord, sometimes all you got to do is look. I believe the fear of the Lord can come on people just from somebody coming from His presence. I better not mess with this one. I didn't say nothing to you. I just looked at you. But I came from the presence. And the presence defeats my enemies. The fear of the Lord, I believe, will come on enemies when we come fresh from His presence. There's joy in His presence. Oh, you can actually have joy and serve Jesus. You don't have to live a sucky life and just hold on till Jesus comes. You don't have to sing gloom, despair, and agony on me. You can enjoy your life. But you see, a lot of people don't have joy because they don't have any time in the presence. And the enemy knows if he can keep you out of presence, he can keep you out of joy.
Come on now.
Have you ever been in the presence of the Lord and it felt like a root canal? Hello? So the number one strategy of the enemy is to keep you out of presence. Matter of fact, he helps build churches to keep you out of presence. He establishes programs to keep you out of presence. Hello. You think the devil won't help build churches? Ones that keep people out of presence, he is, are no threat to him. No threat at all to him. However, where there's presence, it becomes a threat. So his goal is to keep us out of presence. Now, I want to show you today what his main tactic is to keep you out of presence. And I really want to ask you a question. How does the devil advance his agenda in the earth? How does the devil advance his plan on you? Wow, I feel the Holy Spirit. What is his tactic to get to you? Then I would ask you, well, then how does God do the same thing? What's God's means of reaching you? Of getting to you? How does He get you to come into agreement with His plan? How does the devil get you to come into agreement with His plan? Because some of us this morning are in agreement with His plan and don't even know it. Because we don't understand something that's right under our nose. Now, I'm going to show you something that's very simple, but it's so simple we don't get it because it's going on in our life probably right now and we don't even know it. How is the devil going to keep you from presence? How is he going to get involved in your life? Now, I want to read you two portions of Scripture. When you go, I mentioned this, and we're going to go there in just a moment. But if you want to understand your enemy, there's a principle in Scripture of first mention. So the principle of first mention says that the first time you see something in Scripture tells you pretty much everything you need to know. Well, you're in the first book of the Bible, who shows up? Satan. But the key to understanding him has been given from the beginning. In the first book of the Bible, the strategy that the enemy uses is made clear to you. He's still doing it because we know the story, but we don't dissect how does he operate. So the first book of the Bible, I knew it, I turned to the wrong scripture. The first book of the Bible, enters Satan. He tells, and we find some things out about his tactics. Well, guess what happens in the New Testament? He shows back up again. So in the first book of the Old Testament, He shows up. In the first book of the New Testament, in all four, if I'm not mistaken, he shows up. But when we compare what's in Genesis to what's in the Gospels, we see a tactic and a strategy of the enemy and how he begins to impact our lives, and we don't know it. So let's read this. Let's see how the devil first encountered Jesus. We're trying to know our enemy here. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, what did the devil do? Really? The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. And he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said, the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And he led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, what did he do? Hello? How does the enemy get you out of presence? How does he impact your life? You get said to. But you don't know you're getting said to. You miss it. You don't know where those things that are coming up in your mind are coming from. It's not too much pizza. His strategy is he said. See, the number one strategy of your enemy to get to you is to say something to you. So look, folks, are you understanding? This is the Son of God. What's the devil's greatest strategy against the Son of God? To say something to him. Wow. So if he's going to do that to the Son of God, what's his number one strategy against you? All he's got to do is say something to you. And if you don't recognize this as his strategy, you get in a fetal position, leave the church, whatever you do. But you leave the presence. Because his number one strategy, I'm telling you, there's a deliverance. There's been deliverance here for 2 weeks. Some of you, the enemy's been talking to you. But see, I'm trying to show you, his strategy is to say. He's going to say to you. That's his how he advances things. We've been trying to make something really complicated. How's the devil going to attack? He's going to say something. So let's go on a little farther. He said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. It is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. So we're learning something about the nature and the strategy and the tactic of the enemy. He says something. Well, now let's go to the book of Genesis. Here we see this Satan again. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. He's wanting to take over presence. He's wanting to take over their life. What is the first thing that you ever see Satan doing? And he said to the woman. Man. Do you understand that? When Satan enters the picture, the first thing he did tells you his tactic. How did he enter into the earth? How did he change things? He said, ooh, I hear you, Lord. He's an imposter. Go back to Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. So because he's an imposter, the only thing he can do is pretend to be like God. So he's mimicking the way he was created because he knows the power is in the same. So God says, and Satan says, and your battle becomes knowing who's speaking to you. Whatever's going on in your life right now, however the enemy is influencing you, he has said something to you. Good revelation in here. He said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Now I want you to notice the difference between how Jesus responded when Satan said versus how the woman responded when Satan said. He said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. He's after presence, but to get us out of presence, his whole arsenal is exercised when he says. God's whole arsenal is exercised when he says. I won't go there. So this is simple, but we're missing it. So the enemy's number one strategy, his number one tactic is speaking. He talks. I want you to let that sink. I don't care what you're struggling with today. You're listening to him talk. He's talking. There's deliverance in this room. I believe the Lord sent me here today to take authority over the voices that some of you are listening to. You're listening. Now, so his strategy is to speak. And when we look at Jesus and we look at Eve, we see a parallel between how they responded to his speaking. What I'm trying to tell you, victory over your enemy is in understanding how to respond to his speaking. See, I don't know whether you see it or not, but Jesus didn't respond like Eve did. When Satan began to speak to Jesus, his only response was to speak back to him. He didn't listen. The response of Jesus was only to speak back to the devil. The response of Eve was to listen to him and engage in conversation with him. Jesus did not enter conversation. Go back and look. Eve had a conversation with Satan. Jesus went. There was no back and forth. There was only the Word of God. Eve played into his tactics by having a conversation with him. And so he begins to speak to your mind, and you begin to entertain that and think about it. Or maybe nobody does. They really don't love me at that church. They don't love you. And then instead of saying, it is written, and taking authority, you enter into conversation. You begin to entertain that. Well, what do you mean? Ask the devil a question. What do you mean they don't? Oh, I see. They really don't. The pastor walked straight by me the other day. They really don't like me. Eve had a conversation. Jesus didn't. Hello? I feel freedom in this room right now. Some of y'all having a conversation with the devil. Because you don't understand his number one strategy is to get you into one. Jesus didn't do that. The minute the devil spoke, Jesus said, I feel deliverance in here. How long are you going to listen to that voice? And see, I believe we listen to it because we don't know it's him. Some of you fought like hell yesterday. Everything in you said, give up, quit, die, don't go to church tomorrow, it's cold. And you thought, he's speaking to you because it's the main tool he has. Come on, and see, we're not recognizing that. He's saying, don't go to church tomorrow. And then he adds a few more lines, it's going to be cold. Look on WVVA, look at those churches canceling. If there's any churches canceled, I better not go in there. So she entered into conversation. Oh, hear this revelation. Jesus spoke to him. Eve spoke with him. Two different things. Jesus spoke to Satan. Eve spoke with him. Jesus resisted his voice. Eve entertained his voice. She did not immediately say, I'm not talking to you. She entertained it. He resisted it. He countered it. So Jesus spoke to the devil. Eve spoke with him. Jesus resisted his voice and Eve entertained his voice. She had conversation. So he uses his voice. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Are you saved? I don't know where this leaves all the people that believe he's still not speaking. He said, my sheep know my voice. My sheep know I'm talking. So if you're part of a church where they don't think he's talking, I'm not sure whether you're a sheep. Forgive me. Love you if you believe that. But he said his sheep know his voice. Do you know his voice? Really? Then, why are you believing what your adversary is saying to you? He said, my sheep know my voice. If my sheep, hey, I know my wife's voice. I know my wife's voice to the point of if some other woman began to yell my name and say, hey, come here, it's your wife. I know it ain't my wife. But do you know that about Jesus? Because his sheep know his voice. Come on. Is it his voice that's telling you these things? If it's not, you should not be having conversation. The minute that the voice comes, you should say, get behind me, Satan. Do you know his voice? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they won't follow. They don't love you. You're no good. God can't use you. Hello? Now I want to show you something. so he uses his voice. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, a strange voice, they won't follow. So the key to resisting the enemy's voice is knowing the Lord's voice. And the key to knowing the Lord's voice is knowing His Word. Because His voice will never violate His Word. But if you don't know His Word, you will not be able to determine who's speaking to you. Because His voice never violates His Word. And so when a voice comes to you, or a thought comes to your mind that violates what Scripture says about you, it's a lie and you need to resist it. There's no conversation to be had. But if you don't know what the Word says about you, you don't know His voice. You can't distinguish between the voices because the Word lets you distinguish. You'll go to hell if you wear pants, woman. I feel the Holy Ghost all up in here. Who the heck told you that? Is it in the Word? No, it's not in the Word. It's the devil. It's a pulpit filled with demons' doctrines. Is it in the book? But see, we don't know His voice because we don't know His Word. And we think some guy that we pray to be or pay to be our preacher should know. So we take His Word and hear His voice.
Come on now.
Have long hair men and go to heaven?
Come on.
Well, who told you that? What voice is that?
Come on.
I can just feel the religious demons when we share all these videos. And I'm telling you, we got some videos out there now. That one that Sharice just shared, I've listened to it about 14,000 times now. That baby, he went over 1,000 within hours. And every time I see one of those videos, you know what I think? I hear hundreds of voices saying, look, oh my God, he's got a ball cap on in the house of the Lord. Oh my God, look at them. They look like they come off the street. Have they no respect for the Lord? Who told them that? Whose voice are they listening to? As Bluefield High School and Graham High School is filled with people going to hell while they're worried about whether they wear a hat or not to church. Whose voice are they listening to? If they get saved and filled with Jesus, I don't care if they got boxer shorts, no hats except West Virginia hats. We do draw the line there. No hokey hats or anything like that. Donnie, he's a disobedient child. He wears that hokey stuff up in here all the time. We don't take as big a stance against Alabama because even God knows they're the best team in America. So there's no need to fight with that. So anyway, I'm off on a bunny trail here. Are you seeing what happened here? The key to knowing His voice is knowing His Word. His Word, His voice will never violate His Word. Eve didn't know His Word. Eve did not know His Word, therefore she did not distinguish between the voices. Y'all giving me bug eyes here. Here's what God said. The Lord God commanded the man. This is what God really said. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you will surely die. That's what the Word said. That's what God said. Look what what Eve said. Well, go back up here now. What did he say? She said, he said, go back up here to where the devil is. Has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it. He did not say that. She was off in her understanding of the word, therefore she was off in her understanding of the voices. God didn't say, don't touch it. It's quiet in here. Do you see it? Now, I could do a men's ministry right here. I really could. God didn't tell Eve, though. God never told Eve. She got it from Adam. Go back and look at the scripture. She had never been told by God. God told Adam. Adam failed to bring the word to her. Larry Jackson would be proud right now. He didn't bring the word to his wife. Come on. He failed to line up his house with thus saith the Lord. Yes. Now, I don't know where you go from there, because I could do a whole message on that. Do you see, though, that she didn't know the word? She twisted the word. Y'all learning anything? But his goal is to get them out of presence. And his strategy to get them out of presence is to talk to them. And I fully believe that the enemy's been talking to some of you people in this room right here. And you are not resisting at all. You're having conversation. You're going to get a disease and die. Does the word say that? Nobody loves you. Does the word say that? Hello? So the enemy's talking to some of you. And I believe today that if you will rise up and do what Jesus did and say, in the name of Jesus, I now recognize that this is the enemy speaking to me, and I will not entertain his words anymore. I will not listen. Right here, devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you shut your mouth. And see, but Jesus didn't stop with telling him not to talk to him. Jesus preached and spoke the word of God in his face. So if you don't know the word of God concerning what he's attacking you with, you don't have any arsenal. In every place that Satan attacked him, he had a scripture for that situation. What is attacking your mind in this season? Do you know what the word says? Because I can guarantee you the word says the opposite of that voice that's coming in your mind. And if you know the word and you function like Jesus, when that thought comes, you quote the word. But if you don't know the word, it's interesting. Jesus knew the word. And that's all he spoke. That's the only thing he spoke to Satan was the word. You struggling with guilt, condemnation, depression, you name it. What's the word say about it? You'll never conquer it until you begin to say what the word says. And if you don't know what the word says, and don't, it's not enough to know what the word says either. You've got to learn how to say it. Jesus didn't just know it, he said it. So whatever's coming against your life as a strategy from the enemy, it's not enough to know. You start with knowing this, what the scripture says about that. Find the scriptures that go against that voice that you're hearing. But don't just find them, say them. Yes. Post them on your refrigerator. Put them on your dashboard. Every time that it comes into your mind, you say out your mouth, thus saith the word of the Lord, it is written. Oh. Now I'm going to show you a couple of things. I could have went a lot longer on this, but I'm not. I think there's probably more to come from it. But now, do you understand? He speaks to you. Well, how does he get you off track? Number one, he speaks to deceive you. He wants to deceive you. How does he deceive you? He speaks to you. He causes you to believe. I know this as sure as I know my name. I wish I could just smack you upside the head and you'd be free and delivered. But the strategy of the enemy is to speak to you to get you to believe something's true that isn't. I know as sure as I know my name that there are people in this room that the enemy has been speaking to your mind and caused you to believe things that are not true. You believe things about people that are not true. You believe things about relationships in your life that are not true. You believe things about your church that are not true. You believe things about your spouse that are not true. Because he's one who speaks. He's been speaking to you. And he speaks in an effort to, number one, strategy, tactic of the enemy, to deceive you. To make you believe something's true that isn't. God, I ask you right now in this room to cleanse every person's mind that have come to believe something that is not true. I'm telling you, all over this room, some of you are believing a lie from the enemy. Lord, I ask, I take authority over the spirit of the enemy that's coming against minds and causing them to believe things. You get out of their head, devil, right now. I say the voice that is coming to you, I bind it right now in the name of Jesus. I say, devil, you are a liar. Leave them alone right now. I command you to be free from the voice of the enemy in your life right now. I rebuke you and tell you to loose them and let them go. Cause them to come to the right state of mind right now. Making you believe a lie. I don't know who that was. Must have been me. Make you believe a lie. He speaks to deceive you. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read all this. But you go read it. 1 Kings 19:13 through 18. Next message, I might do a whole message from this portion of Scripture. But Elijah was God's man. And Elijah, you know the battle. He caused it not to rain. He came and confronted Jezebel and Ahab. And he destroyed the prophets of Baal. He had one of the best days of his life. Are you hearing me? He had one of the greatest victories. He annihilated the enemy. And then he went into a cave. And then he got in a fetal position. And then he prayed to die. Why did he do it? Because he believed something that was not true. Look at what he said now. When Elijah heard it, 1 Kings 19:13, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I hear Scott Bryan right now. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Then he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. And I alone am left." He's gone from great victory, and now he's in a cave of depression and despair, ready to die. Why? Because he believes he's the only one left. Oh, Lord. I want to preach right there. How long are you going to wallow in that? The enemy keeps you. When you say, "Well, Nobody understands what I'm going through. I'm special. I'm the only one on planet Earth facing this. You're listening to the wrong voice. Oh, I feel Jesus. So here is Elijah in the cave listening to the wrong voice. What altered it? A voice stepped into the cave. On the outside, it was somebody else that said something. But can you see it? He says, I'm the only one left. He believes this. And God said, yo, Bubba, you ain't what you think you are. I got 7,000 that have not bent their knee. Now, do you understand? He was paralyzed from operating in God's will for his life because he believed something that was said to him that wasn't even true. He speaks to you to deceive you, to make you think something's true that's not. There are so many young ladies. I'd like to have an anointing to break this and just go around going boop, 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 boop. There are so many young ladies that are so pretty and so beautiful, and they run around thinking they're ugly. Really? So I can take a picture and I can say, yo, baby, this is you. This is ugly. Do you see the difference between these? No, because they believe a voice that's been telling them since they were a little girl, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly, you're ugly. Or else they go out and have illicit sex because they've been told, this voice has been saying for years, your daddy doesn't love you, your daddy doesn't love you, your daddy doesn't love you. So you go out and then you try to find a man who will love you, and you give your body or whatever else you have to do because you're listening to a voice and believing something that's not even true. And you go to your 400th church and you join it in the year of 2018 because everyone you've ever went to, there's a voice in your ear telling you you know more than your pastor knows and telling you they don't love you and blah, 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 blah. You believe something's true that is not true because you're listening to the wrong voice. Who told you you were fat? Probably not politically correct. But I feel Jesus right now, and you're just going to have to help me. You, I didn't know I was going here. Listen, you are fat on the outside because you're fat on the inside. Now you fill in the blanks all the way around. You're angry on the outside because you're angry on the inside. You see yourself. What I'm trying to get to you here is it's how you see yourself. You bought the lie. You're broke. Because after all, your granddaddy was broke, your grandmama was broke, and you was all on welfare. And that's what you believe on the inside. Because you're listening to a voice that says you'll never be anything. You can't have money. You can't be rich. What voice are you listening to? Ooh, it's quiet now. Oh, yes, 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 I will. See, words lead to beliefs. And beliefs produce behavior. And how I am acting and how I am behaving is a direct result of what I believe. And what I believe is a direct result of what I have listened to and who has spoken to me. Lord, right now I pray for every word curse to be broken from these people. Every daughter who has a dad that tells her she's worthless, who tells her she'll never amount to anything, who tells her that she's a pain in the butt. I hear it right now. There are fathers that have spoken to you that you're a pain in the butt. I renounce that. I remove that. You don't believe that. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I renounce the lie that tells you because you're divorced, you can never be used in the kingdom of God. I uproot that out of your mind right now. It's a lie of the enemy. I command the voices to be gone. See, we make jokes about it. The voices in my head are telling me to do X, Y, and Z, but you don't know how much reality that is. There are voices telling you to do stuff, and it's not the Most High God because it doesn't line up with His Word. Come on. Renounce what has been said over you. Jesus told us that the power of agreement is the greatest power. If any two on earth agree as touching any one thing that they shall ask, they shall have whatsoever they say. They shall have what they say. They shall have what they say. Now, what I'm trying to get you to see is your words either come into agreement with one of the two people that are saying. Jesus is saying, and Satan is saying. And your words are coming into agreement with one or the other, and when there's agreement, it shall be done. So if that voice in your mind's telling you you're ugly and you're agreeing, if that voice in your mind is telling you that you don't measure up and you're agreeing, you have the power of agreement, and then it begins to manifest in your life because you're coming into agreement with something that's been spoken over you. You in this room right now, some of you need to renounce coming into agreement with the wrong thing that's been spoken over you. Because when you agree with what somebody else says, when you agree with what Satan says about you, you've created agreement and it's going to happen to you. To accuse you, or not to accuse you, to deceive you. Let me give you a couple more. He speaks to you to entice you. What's his strategy? To deceive, to entice. How does he entice? With his words. Go ahead and they won't know it. He found $50 laying on the pastor's desk. That's highly unlikely. You must go to another church. Go ahead. It won't hurt you. Go ahead and drink you a little Bud Light. Bethel does. It won't hurt. Go ahead and have a little sex. Just do it once. It's okay. You can ask for forgiveness after. I'm trying to get you to see his strategies to speak. Don't you know that that's what happens? Enticement? Go ahead. It'll feel good. You'll like it. Try it. You'll like it. I believe many people are in graveyards that left the church that they belonged in. You better hear what I'm telling you. And the enemy said, get out of that church. They don't like you. You'll never get to use your gift in that church. They don't recognize how, you know, your gifting. Leave. And then you leave and your life gets on the wrong track. And it all goes back to the voice of the enemy enticing you. Speaks to entice. It means to bait a hook. This is what entice means. Bait a hook and set a trap with bait. Entice a victim into a moral trap, luring them in through their own selfish impulses. It means to bait a trap for you. Then he speaks to harass you. There's harassment against people in this room. When are you going to shut the voices up? Have you spoken the word when that harassing thing comes to your mind? I wish I could just pull it out of the atmosphere, but I'm telling you, you're driving down the road minding your own business and thoughts begin to come and you don't recognize it's a voice. And you begin to dwell on it. The enemy harasses you. Anybody in here ever feel harassed? Well, how long are you going to take it? When are you going to rise up and say, this is what the Word says about me? Get behind me, Satan. To annoy persistently, to create an unpleasant or hostile situation, for especially by uninvited and unwelcome verbal or physical conduct. What's the harassment of the enemy? It's him bombarding your mind with his big tongue. And you listen, because you have not understood the tactic of the enemy. Oh, you know what he'll do? There's a whole lot of people sitting in church pews that prophesy for the devil. They will say things to injure you, and you'll listen to them, not recognizing the devil just spoke to you. I don't care how good they sing in the choir, and I don't care how many times they've been coming to church. The enemy will use the lips of people right in front of you that you know to speak his voice to you. Renounce that. Then he uses it to accuse you. Revelation 12:10 tells us that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you. He knows how bad you messed up yesterday. So when you get up to go to church the next day, he reminds you, well, you're not even a Christian. Probably ought to stay home. I don't know why you bother going to church. You're a sinner anyway. He's talking because that's where he works. He's an accuser. He uses his tongue to accuse. He uses his tongue to condemn. Means to pronounce, to be guilty. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Let me tell you something. He also compels you. I'm not going there yet, but I want to tell you this. I want to end with this. So we understand now that the key is following the right voice. And there's just one thing I want you to see. I think with both God and the enemy, when we say the Lord spoke to us or the enemy spoke to us, I think some of us got the impression that the heavens opened up and God said, my son. And the car shook and the building you were in shook. What do you mean God spoke to you? We don't get that. That's how we're interpreting his voice. His voice is a still, small voice that comes from the inside of you. That seems like a suggestion. Your conscious is the voice of your spirit. It's just an inner knowing. There's something on the inside of you that says, you just have an inner knowing, your conscience. Just like your conscience says, when you get ready to steal that piece of cake or whatever, or steal that dollar, something on the inside of you just knows, don't do that. Well, see, that's the voice of the Lord. But because we have not understood the voice of the Lord, we also don't understand that little small thing that's going on in our head is the devil speaking to us. It's him speaking to you. Are you seeing that? I believe there are people all over here, the enemy's been speaking to you, and you don't even know it's him. If it cannot be found in the Word, it's him. Now, I'm going to leave you two things. How do you know about the voices? Understand this. God leads you. Satan drives you. If you're trying to make a decision, you need to understand this is how the voices work. The voice of the enemy drives you. The voice of God leads you. Complete difference. When the voice of the God begins to lead you, there's just this sense that comes over you and on the inside of you, and it's just like a nudge. It's just, I don't understand why, but there's just a nudge. I'm being nudged towards something. He's leading. But when the enemy is speaking, he will pressure you and press you and drive you. And 90% of the time, anytime you do something that you feel like you just got to do it, it's the wrong decision. If you can't wait till tomorrow, it's probably the devil. Because he'll drive you. Somebody will offend you today. Somebody will offend you. Here you'll go. There'll be a sense of panic, a sense of, I've got to do this now. 90% of mistakes are made by following a voice that tells you you've got to do it now. Don't marry her, for God's sake. Don't marry the knucklehead. Don't marry him. Oh, but if I'll lose him if I don't marry him. You'll be better off in the long run. The devil drives. He makes you feel like you've got to do this now. God doesn't do that, because if it's God's will today, it'll be God's will tomorrow. And I can take my time and follow his leading. Whatever he has for me, I can take my time, because he's leading me. He's not driving me. Can you grasp that with me? I'm sorry if I've been too long. Don't know what time I started. It's only 12:51, so you ain't been to Pentecostal church unless you go 2 hours anyway. I don't think I've been that long, though, about 50. Let me leave you with something. If you're pressured, I want to say it again. God leads, Satan drives. So if you're pressured and you're feeling pressure about it, it's probably the voice of the enemy. The scripture also says this, that we are, let the God of peace, let the peace that passes understanding govern your life. Paraphrased. Well, if you don't have peace about it, there's your first key. Because whatever God's telling you to do, there will be a peace on the inside of you. But if there's a pressure with it, stop right where you are. If it brings peace to you, it's probably him. Now, I want to tell you the last thing. Whatever your enemy says to you is a lie. Do you understand that? The opposite. If you could just get what I'm saying to you right now, you'd walk out of this place free. Because whatever's been coming to your mind that came from him is not true. It's not true. Why is it not true? John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desire of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So therefore, anything he has told you, the opposite of that is true. If you would just get a hold of that this morning. That's why when the Lord's getting ready to use you, he'll start speaking to you really loud. The devil will. But you should learn. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you learn to get excited. When the devil starts harassing me, I'm like, ooh, boy, it's going to be good. Because he's a liar!
Come on.
And the exact opposite of what he's trying to get me to believe is getting ready to happen in my life. So you can huff and you can...